Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 4 of season 6. This one is called Relics. It was directed by Alexander Singer, written by Ron D. Moore, and it aired back on October 12th, 1992. In this episode, while investigating the 75-year-old wreck of a Federation transport vessel, the Enterprise crew discovers the former chief engineer of Captain James T. Kirk's Enterprise, Montgomery Scott, alive in a transporter buffer. James Doohan makes his TNG appearance in Relics. It's only going to be me talking about this episode, which is unfortunate. I apologize for that. But just after this break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you my deep, dark thoughts about Relics.
Do you mind a little advice? Starfleet captains are like children. They want everything right now, and they want it their way. But the secret is to give them only what they need, not what they want.
Yeah, well, I told the captain I'd have this analysis done in an hour.
How long would it really take?
An hour?
Oh, you didn't tell him how long it would really take, did you?
Well, of course I did.
Oh, laddie, you've got a lot to learn if you want people to think of you as a miracle worker. Now listen,
Captain Scott, I've tried to be patient, I've tried to be polite, but I've got a job to do here. And quite frankly, you're in the way.
I was driving starships while your great-grandfather was still in diapers. I'd think you'd be a little grateful for some help. I'll leave you to work, Mr. LaForge.
Hey, everybody. So, fitting as I start a Patreon and people start providing Patreon dollars to me that I don't get a co-host on the first show to come out after that announcement, I apologize for that. This scheduling snafu, not really snafu, but I'm just behind on my scheduling, so I apologize for that. But I figured I'd get here and talk about Relics, and we'll do our Season 5 giveaway after this. So the giveaway that we did at the end of the season will be resolved at the end of this episode. I'll announce a winner, and that winner's going to get the t-shirt. Thank you for everyone who entered that. I appreciate it, and good luck to you. But let's get into Relics first. So Relics is interesting because, especially after how I talked about unification in Season 5, unification is the Spock appearance, and also I guess it ties back to the encounter at Farpoint where we see McCoy and his sort of brief appearance on the pilot episode Next Generation. TNG was really, really hesitant to ever bring back or mention TOS characters, which makes more sense in the early parts of the series. I think in the first couple seasons, it's not something you want to rely on too heavily, even though they did like a reboot of The Naked Time and things like that. They barely mentioned characters from the original series, which I can understand because you want the show to stand on its own. You want its own, sort of aesthetic. You want its own universe that it's trying to build. You don't want to be too dependent on things that come before you. You want to set it off on its own two feet. I can understand all of that. Although it got a little weird by the time that season 3 started rolling around. They had Sarek, the episode where they had the father of Spock, Sarek, in the episode. But for some reason, it was very difficult to mention the name Spock. That had to be a big battle to get that across, even though you're dealing with the character's father, and it doesn't seem all that strange at all that you would mention the character. He doesn't need to be in the episode, but at least mention his name, just so you can tie everything together for people who are maybe not 100% clear on what's going on. So the sixth season is a little bit interesting here because Deep Space Nine is in development, right? So I think the reins are loosening a little bit on the writing staff, and as a result, we get Relics, which is the Scotty episode in TNG. And to my opinion, this is the best use of the original cast members that they've done so far. Unification was a terrible episode. The appearance of Bones in Encounter at Farpoint is just kind of a toss-away kind of, here's a pilot of a new show, we're going to give this throwaway line, read by a character from the original series. But the Unification storyline was such a letdown because of how it used the Spock character and how it inserted his character into the TNG universe. It was not really effective. The plot itself of the story was silly, Spock is playing basically a James Bond figure on Romulus, which isn't really in character. He never truly interacts with the crew of the Next Generation, the Enterprise D. It felt very unnecessary and a poor use of the character, just kind of a waste of time. Relics, on the other hand, is a much smaller episode, but it works a lot better with how they chose to do it. They basically started off with Scotty, right, the chief engineer of the original crew, and you have to build an episode kind of around that. And I think they did a really good job, A, of showing someone who's out of touch a little bit and how they are enabled to sort of feel important and feel like they're being productive, which is it's a very small part of the episode, but it's a commentary on that, you know, as people age and they start to move along and technology and everything passes them by, how they still are able to feel productive in society, how they're able to continue going forward, all that stuff. And this episode covers that nicely, because he is a fish out of water 75 years later. He's been in this transporter beam on the Janolan for 75 years, and now he's brought back. And in the time that he feels like no time at all has passed, he is now in the future. Everything's changed. All the dilithium crystals are much more complicated. And so they do a good job of that. And they also do a good job of recognizing that the core of the character is that he's an engineer, and they build a episode around that fact. So this sort of becomes, if not a Scotty episode, it's a Geordi episode, because you pair the engineer with the engineer to show how things have changed. And I think they do a really good job of that. It's a bit heavy of a tech episode. There's a lot of technology talk and technobabble used to solve things, which makes sense because you've got two engineers going at it. And it's a very technical sort of B-plot, or the MacGuffin of the episode is very technical. And I wanted to talk about that briefly. The Dyson Sphere, which is where Scotty's ship crash-landed 75 years ago, is probably the coolest sci-fi B-plot that the show has ever done. I almost feel that it's so good, it feels wasted on a small episode. I feel like you could have built a movie around this, and it would have been pretty amazing. But the Dyson Sphere is basically I guess it's a real-life concept. I don't know how seriously it was taken. It can't be taken all that seriously, because its production would be almost implausible. But you basically build a hollow sphere around a star so that people can live on the interior of the sphere and absorb all the energy of the sun. So the sphere itself would probably be around the size of Earth's orbit around the sun. And just imagine a sphere that size, which is incomprehensibly large. The show tries its best to demonstrate how large it is, although it's something that it's impossible to demonstrate its scope on TV while still being able to see the Enterprise. So unless you just do a solid wall, even then that it would feel weird that how far is the Enterprise from this thing to be able to conceive its size? It would just look like, if you were up to it, it would look like it would just took up the entirety of your view, basically. But it's a really cool idea. It's a really neat mechanic that has a lot of sci-fi potential. They don't do a lot of exploration of the sphere here. We never hear about it again, which is kind of crazy that you'd think something would be discovered on this thing. It's housing, you know, the space for millions of planets, apparently, on the inside. Although the star is going nova, or whatever's happening to the star. So that ended why anyone would be living there. So even if there's not people living there, you think there'd be something useful to it. But it's a really neat idea. It's really memorable. It's really cool. The concept itself is really fantastic, like really interesting to sort of think about. And the potential for it is really like powerful in terms of sci-fi storytelling. So I'm disappointed they never went back to it, or they never brought this back, or that they kind of, not that they wasted it, but they used it on a episode that the episode itself doesn't even have that much time to focus on what the Dyson Sphere is all about. But into that, they bring back Scotty, and it's very effective. Doohan is excellent in this. Leonard Nimoy was excellent as Spock, but he was asked to do less. This one just makes much more sense than Unification ever did. Scotty in this episode feels right. He's got a lot to do. They have 45 minutes to basically set up the fact that he's back, how he got back, his sort of dilemma with the modern day. They have a nice scene of him on the bridge where he sort of puts his head on straight and gets back to work after getting drunk. And then they have him and Geordi saving the day at the end after the Enterprise gets pulled into the Dyson Sphere. So they've got a lot to go there. And if anything, the episode feels a little bit fan service-y, not in a bad way, just just the fact that they have a lot to do and he has a lot of sort of character interactions to build the story and also build the fact that this is Scotty we're talking about. There's a lot of references to original series stuff. We got the rebuilt bridge, which is a combination of blue screen and a very small slice of the set that they could build because they couldn't afford to build the whole thing over again. Those union dues in Hollywood, I guess, it just costs a lot of money to throw all that stuff together. A bit more than you'd expect, anyway. So it feels a little bit fan servicey, just that you have a lot of scenes of characters sort of pleased to meet Scotty. There's the Picard scene in the sickbay where he meets him. There was a Troy scene that was actually cut for time before Scotty goes to the bar to get drunk. He interacts with Troy, apparently, and realizes that she's a therapist, and he thinks that Geordi has sent a therapist to talk to him, and he gets offended and goes to the bar to drink, and that's the setup for that, which provides a little bit more context to A, Scotty going to the bar, and B, the Troy interaction at the end where she kisses him goodbye, even though she's never interacted with him in the episode. So it's a shame that got cut, but it ties to the point of they had a lot of scenes that they wanted to do in this sort of fan servicey way, and they just couldn't get to them because there's too many of them. And the plot itself demands that at least half this episode is dedicated to the Enterprise and the Dyson Sphere and all of that stuff. But in terms of fan service, I think it's pretty interesting. With the cold open where they rematerialize Scotty, it's nice to get the old-style TOS transporter sound effect. It's little things like that. And they mention neutronium a couple times, which is an original series word that was frequently used. They do things like that. I think they mention planets that were in the original series. They have the original bridge, obviously, which looks so funny in context of the Next Generation, where the original series is so angular. Everything is very, nothing is curved or sleek to it. It feels very primitive, almost like the set design is literally just putting like a plywood on top of a sort of base and just calling like gluing some buttons to it. Where the new Enterprise feels much more sleek and much more curved, and everything's much more smooth. The color palettes and the way that the original series bridge just makes me laugh that it's only 75 years. And I guess that makes it make sense, but it's interesting that 75 years of that has come such a long way. But anyway, the plot itself, I think, is good. The Dyson Sphere is used excellently. You could have even done more with it. I think Scotty is fantastic, bringing him back. James Doohan plays the role well, and I think this is more dialogue than he had. I think you could probably tie all Scotty dialogue together from the original series, and I wonder if he gets that amount of dialogue combined to equal what he gets in this one. He probably gets more in the original series just for sheer scale, but he certainly has more to do in this episode than he does in a lot of TOS stuff, and it's fascinating. He does a good job. Apparently the actor, James Doohan, who had passed away a couple of years ago, was a little bit older at this point, so it was a lot of cue card reading because they have him doing a lot of techno babble. So for an older gentleman actor who's having to go through this, I can imagine that would be kind of a pain in the ass. But he pulled it through. He really sells the character. What's funny to me is that you really see the sort of difference between the characterization, the smaller characterization of the TOS characters and the TNG counterparts at this point, because the TOS characters to me feel like they're a little bit more of people, kind of. They're a little bit more normalized to what we would consider them to be real people. They have sort of this emotional core that's more relatable than our current Star Trek cast. Not that the cast itself is doing a poor job, it's just that the crew is written in the Next Generation universe to be much more much more capable and able to do things. It's always highlighted by the Barclay episodes where Barclay is such an outlier and the rest of the crew is so stoic and holds it together. The TOS characters are much more like real people. They're a little bit more emotional. They're more sketched out in terms of how they react to things. There's, like Scotty's sort of a racist here. Not really a racist, but he comes from an era of the Klingons being enemies. And in this one, he never really talks to Worf, and they have that great stare down at the very end where they just walk past each other after looking, saying goodbye to everybody else. But he's kind of got stuff like that built in. Like he drinks a lot. He likes the feeling of being drunk as opposed to the synthahol thing. He's much more, sort of living in the past and sort of regretful that he wants to go back to that past, which a lot of the characters in the show don't really have regrets like that. Everyone's very happy with their sort of standing in life. So it's interesting that the TOS characters would have that sort of great counterpoint to the TNG cast. And I think it's a good way to sort of, you know, cross-cut them and reconcile them against each other. It's very interesting. And it's neat to see them bring that level into the TNG cast, which you don't really think about all that much, but it's fairly obvious when you have an episode like this that that's what they do, and that the TNG cast could almost benefit a little bit from a little bit more of either personal demons, or it doesn't have to be dark, but it just has to, there's no doubt to the Next Generation cast where there is in the original series crew. And I think it's a nice little payoff there. I think Geordi gets a good episode out of this one. It's a good episode for LeVar Burton. He's got a lot to do. He kind of has to develop it very quickly. He gets annoyed with Scotty very quickly, which makes sense. I think they play it correctly, but for the episode to make sense, they have to kind of pace it so that it happens very quickly. Picard is obviously he's going to be very pleased to meet Mr. Scott. I guess in the original script, he was more standoffish and Scotty thought he was kind of a dick compared to Kirk, which would have been a good way to play it. If you had a two-parter, I think you could have fit a lot more of that kind of stuff into this, but they didn't do that. They obviously just went with the one, which I can't really disagree with. I don't know if the story could have held up for two, but James Doohan coming into, or Scotty coming into it, certainly could have been fleshed out a little bit more. But Picard is very friendly to him in this one. Everyone's kind of, you get the impression everyone's just there to, I don't know if the actors feel that way, but certainly the writers felt like our cast members on the TNG are just kind of there to meet Scotty and call it a day. You get that kind of a vibe from the episode a little bit, but it doesn't really affect things in the long run because I think that the plot and the sci-fi is strong enough to carry everything through. It's I think it's a pretty positive episode. It's certainly been one of the best episodes of season 6 so far. So I'm going to wrap it up there. Let's play an audio clip. I'll come back. We will do the announcement for the giveaway. I'll give my final thoughts.
The Enterprise Ion Trail leads right to this point.
It looks like some kind of doorway.
No. I bet you two bottles of scotch that they're inside the sphere. And that they went in, right through that hatch.
Yeah, no bet here. Question is how?
Look at the momentum distribution of the ions. It would take an impulse engine, full reverse, to put out a signature like that.
So they didn't go in willingly. This looks like some kind of communications array.
Aye. We found hundreds of them when we did our initial survey 75 years ago.
Did you try hailing them?
Aye. That was standard procedure at the time, and we did it right before we crashed.
All right, so let's get into our final thoughts for Relix. I really like Relix. I think it's good, especially in the context of the season 6 has not been going well to this point. It's not been great. There have been some really kind of lazy episodes. This one feels very, very enjoyable. It's always one that I find is to be rewatchable. If you're a TOS fan, I don't think you can ask for much of a better appearance of a TOS character. They get away with it a little bit because Scotty's such a relatively minor character in the original series that you don't have this great expectation on him that you do with the Spock episode and things like that. Or if Kirk was to make an appearance, Kirk making an appearance would be absurd. But I think they went correctly with Scotty because you could have like Uhura, Chekov, and Sulu, but those characters aren't really as defined as Scotty is. Like Scotty's the engineer. You know, Scotty likes alcohol. Like he's that kind. He's a sort of free thinking Scotsman type thing. Like says what's on his mind. And I think you have a little bit more characterization with him than you do with Sulu, Chekov, and Uhura, who I'd have a hard time building a story for those characters that would make sense in the Next Generation universe. Scotty makes sense here, and I think that was a really clever thing to do, and it was a good character choice. So I really like this episode. It's not like an all-time great or anything, but I think it's interesting enough where you could show it to somebody who's not familiar with Star Trek and they'd enjoy it. I think I'm going to give it a 4. It's a 4 out of 5. It's kind of a weak 4, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. It's better than a strong 3, I guess. So I'll call it a weak 4. And I really enjoy this one. It's probably been the best episode of season 6 so far. It's a great, fun, sort of light episode that I really love the sci-fi B plot to, and I wish they could have done more. It's good to bring Scotty back. The characters all make sense in this one. It's very It's very lighthearted and fun, but it's got some cool stuff. You know, the whole Dyson Sphere, the interior, the ship blowing up the Janolan to get through. The Enterprise does this Millennium Falcon barrel roll and gets out in the nick of time. It's fun. It's a fun, cool episode that sets off a character from the original series and sort of, you know, puts him in a place at the end where you could either call him back or just never see him again. You feel like that's a fitting end to the character, which I think is appropriate. Him just sort of shuttlecrafting off into space is a appropriate thing, I think, for this character to do. It's a great way to sort of shut the book on his story, and I don't think you'd need to see him back. If you did, it's possible, but if you don't, he's out and about. You can contact him. So that's it. I'm going to give Relics a 4 out of 5. Pretty solid episode. So let's get to what everyone's been waiting for. We'll get to the giveaway. I'm giving away a Darmok and Jalad t-shirt. I had people on the Season 5 wrap-up video. They could comment on that. They could leave a review on iTunes, or they could leave a like on our Facebook page, and they would be entered into this raffle. You get a ticket. So I've entered the names into a spreadsheet. I'm going to go to random.org and click generate, and that is going to give me a number. It gave me a number, and I am going to go here and match it to the row. Here it is. It's number 12. It went to a Facebook entry, and that Facebook winner is Paul McClellan. Paul, I think you've commented. You've been commenting on the videos. Congratulations. You won the t-shirt for entering on Facebook, commenting on the video. So congratulations, Paul. I send me an email at thepenskyfilevideo@gmail.com, or just however you'd want to contact me to give me your address so I can, or wherever you want me to ship the t-shirt to. I'll cover all the costs for shipping and everything. But yeah, send me an email, Paul McClellan, to thepenskyfilevideo@gmail.com, or however you want to contact me. And we will take it from there. You'll get it. So thank you guys, everybody who entered the contest. Maybe you'll win one next time. We'll have more going forward. But for this one, the Darmok and Jalad t-shirt goes to a lucky winner who entered on Facebook. So let's see here. We should have some housekeeping, I suppose, before we call this thing a day. As always, like and comment if you're watching the video on YouTube. I'd appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating or review is greatly appreciated as well. You can go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thepenskypodcast. Leave a like, leave a comment, let us know. It's a kind of an easier way to talk on Facebook, I think, is a little bit it's built around communication, so it's a little bit easier than YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter @thatpenskyfile, and you can support the show. We have a Patreon, which has been going well. You can go to patreon.com/thepenskypodcast, and there's several reward tiers where you could toss the show a few dollars a month or even a dollar, and you'll get a reward out of it. You get exclusive content and things like that. You can choose how the show goes forward. We've hit the goal to get Deep Space Nine, so Deep Space Nine is going to be happening, unless the reward tier drops below what the goal was, and then we have to cancel everything. But yeah, we'll do Deep Space Nine after the end of TNG because we've hit that point, and we're doing a once-a-month exclusive content about a topic of the patron's choice, which we will start this month. That'll come out probably mid-month. So people who donate a certain amount can sort of suggest topics that they'd want us to cover. And that's about it. Thank you guys very much for listening. I apologize I didn't have a guest. Hopefully I managed to carry through this episode by myself. Guests will be returning with Schisms, which is our next episode. So thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. Congratulations to Paul on winning the shirt. Contact me and I will send it off to you. Otherwise, I will see you guys later.